America, we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. By honoring your career calling, you impact your family, your friends, and your community. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
You love podcasts. The stories, the laughs, the unexpected turns. But when this episode ends, the silence starts. Not anymore. Audiobooks.com turns that silence into your next great adventure. With over 450,000 titles, from bestsellers to hidden gems, your love for listening just found its new best friend. And because you already know the joy of audio, we're giving you 3 free audiobooks to start your journey. Imagine your favorite podcast, now with unlimited episodes. That's audiobooks.com. Keep the story going. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. Because for podcast lovers like you, the end of an episode is just the beginning. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Vile Files Bachelor Recap and Hot Goss Edition. I am your host, Nick, joined by my producer, Chrissy. Chrissy, how you doing?
I love the hot goss. I don't know why it makes me happy when
like,
you say it.
Listen, obviously, as the host of the show, I am personally more invested in our Wednesday episodes with our great guests and our ability to learn from them and have conversations, as well as our Ask Nick episodes on Mondays to learn about our audience and talk about relationships. But I get it. Like, listen, you know, I come from this world of The Bachelor, and it is fun to talk about and
reminisce with your friends.
But it's just like, hey, I'm still doing this. All right. I'm still, here we go.
It's the hot goss, man.
We got a nice little lineup. We thought we'd do it a little differently, being obviously recapping Caitlin's season, of which I was a big part of, as well as my dear friends, Jared Haven and Tanner. What the fuck is Tanner's last name? Tanner Tolbert? Fuck. And then I actually asked my friend Brett Vergara to come back. For those of you who don't know, Brett is a Bachelor superfan. He helped us recap Listen to Your Heart, but he's also was a big part of the diversity initiative that you saw last week that floated around Bachelor Nation and got talked about, you know, getting a lot more diversity within Bachelor Nation. It was signed by myself and, you know, like, up to 80,000 signatures now. And then 3 days later, they announced Matt James as the first Black Bachelor, which, you know, I'm sure they had conversations before. You know, obviously the timing was... The timing was what it was, and I certainly believe that initiative played a role, and I think that goes to show that, you know, the people can influence real change when they make a concerted effort. So I wanted to bring Brett back on to share a little bit about that initiative, and we're going to talk obviously about the casting of Matt, and, you know, obviously congratulations to him. And then just go down memory lane with my dear friends, with Tanner and Jared, whoever the fuck, I mean, my dear friend Tanner,
I can't remember his last name.
I was like, what's Tanner's last name? Fuck, I don't know. Anyways, let's just get to it. Guys, thanks for joining on this very special reunion of Caitlin's season. I'm definitely looking forward to talking shit to you, you two, Jared and Tanner. I mean that. And talking about some of the things we watched tonight or last night or whenever we watched it. But before I do get into that, let's talk the first Black Bachelor ever. We brought our good buddy Brett on because Brett is one of the brainchilds behind the diversity campaign or diversity initiative that you saw around Bachelor Nation this past week. And, you know, who knows how much of that played a role in them announcing Matt James this week. But to say it played no role would be probably inaccurate and insincere. So I thought it would make sense to have Brett on and obviously maybe shed some light on that initiative and who was really behind it. And listen, we're experienced a lot in this country in terms of a society and with the protest. It just goes to show that when people rally behind a great cause, you can make a difference. That's undeniable to have this campaign and this initiative come out. And then 4 days later, literally, we're casted the first Black Bachelor. So props to you, Brett. But yeah, I wanted to just have a discussion with you guys. And maybe, Brett, you could, tell us how this all started.
Jump on in.
And your initial thoughts, and then we'll kind of get into the casting itself.
Yeah, sounds good. Well, first off, thanks for having me. It's funny now meeting Tanner and Jared through Zoom because, you know, we're familiar with each other just through the Twitter sphere, but pleasure to be on with y'all.
Bye.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. All the memeage. Oh, yeah. So as for the campaign, it's the Bachelor Diversity Campaign. And yeah, it's been a very wild experience. You know, I do want to, and we'll get into this, but I'm definitely not the only one. I think there has been some like confusion in the press about it. It's like, oh yeah, Brett started it. Brett is like the sole brainchild, because it's mainly been me screaming about it in either on Twitter or in the DMs, Nick's, yours included, to try to get it pushed by as many contestants as possible. And, you know, I really got to thank you and all the other, you know, contestants who shared, just because I know it's a very dicey situation. You know, you're all a part of this franchise and it doesn't mean that you can't be critical of it, but there is that hesitation and not really knowing what you can, should do, all that. But, you know, again, really thank everyone for their support in that. So it actually started in a Facebook group that I manage. It's called Brett's Bachelor Buds. We mentioned it on Listen to Your Heart recap last time.
Sure.
So it actually started with this woman, Chloe, and she was just very frustrated with this franchise that, you know, she loves, that we all love, that brought us all together, whether it's in this Facebook group that I have or on this podcast. You know, we just wanted it to be doing a better job, right? Like, I think it's easy to acknowledge the steps the franchise has tried to take, whether it's with Demi and Christian's representation of their relationship on Paradise, you know, whether it was casting Rachel as the lead years ago. But I think we can all acknowledge that they're not doing enough. We're all just venting in this Facebook group and coming up with ideas that we'd like to see. And then Chloe is long, as well with, some other people. I'd actually love to shout out their first names really quick, cause I do want them to get credit for the amount of work that they've done here. I'll just do first names just to keep it simple, but, we've got, well, me, you know, we're here. Hi. and then, we've got Ayana, Rhea, Chloe, Emma, Lauren, Sam, Rosie, Lee, Tamiko, Daniela, Hannah, Anna, Ariana, and Rachel. So I've just been really inspired by these women coming together. And some of them are PR professionals. Some of them are visual designers. Some are marketing specialists. And they just, a lot of them, like, they're not in media. You know, I don't think we have anyone really in media or no one who's like covering the franchise as their job by any means. They just wanted to put this together and try to make a difference. And then once I saw them actually putting a Google Doc together, I was like, oh shit, like they mean business here. And they started getting on my radar a bit more. So then at that point is when I jumped in. I was like, hey, this is really great. I'd love to help in any way I can. What can I do? So then we went over, you know, we were probably at like six or seven asks in the petition at that point. And we just wanted to keep adding. Because at first we were focused on on-screen representation, which matters, you know, really, really matters a lot. But at the same time, we wanted to address that that's not enough. You know, like we've had on-screen representation, Nick, on your season, as we talked about, and that was great to see. We've had representation with Rachel, but we don't want this to be half-assed or just kind of like checking a box and then we're done, because there's a lot more to it. So we wanted to include things like having more BIPOC producers, casting, post-production, literally everyone, just to feel that those contestants were supported. Also, I know that we're throwing out BIPOC a lot, and some people might not be familiar. That's just Black, Indigenous, people of color, just to be a little bit more inclusive of a term. So yeah, then we were throwing that all together. And once we feel like we were ready, another big part of this, part of the reason this came up was going into greatest of all time, right? Which we're here to recap, and we'll have fun, you know, recapping it later, I'm sure. But, you know, with everything going on with the world right now, with George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, you know, Ahmaud Arbery, it was just very hard to go into this season and not acknowledge what's going on in the world. And
yeah, I mean, it was a really bad, it was dumb luck and timing to have this go on. Obviously, they decided to do this to highlight your greatest seasons. And given that every single lead that they ever had was white, other than Rachel, it just, the optics don't look particularly great. And then you have Rachel's season not be part of that recap. Now, logistically, and I don't know why The Bachelor doesn't just say this, but they don't have, I don't know how the licensing works, but they don't have the licensing to have Rachel's season be part of the lineup, which is also why you're not seeing Emily Maynard's season, which clearly that would be easily in one of the greatest of all times, and they're not airing that, and it's a licensing issue.
That's really interesting.
That's what I heard from multiple reliable sources. I mean, that could potentially not, might not be true, but I'm pretty sure it is. I've heard that floated around. So they don't even have the ability to do that. That being said, regardless, even if it was Rachel's season, it still highlights how white has been, and it the optics just don't look great.
Yeah. You
know? Well, we live in a digital world, people, and obviously we're always looking for great and efficient ways to put out exemplary content. I don't even know if I said exemplary right, but I'll tell you what. Issue is a new platform that I am starting to use for Natural Habits, and I'm really excited about it. So listen, if you're creative, you know the drill. You know, you get done editing something, maybe you re-edit, it's perfect, it's ready to go, but now you want to put it onto all the platforms out there that you know, might be utilizing, like Facebook, Instagram, and so on and so forth. And with Issue, it you can make it once, and it's ready to post everywhere, no matter the platform you have. So obviously, this is a perfect application for any young or small business that's looking for easy to use ways of getting digital content out there. I'm really excited about it. Once I heard of Issue, I thought this is exactly what we need for Natural Habits. And even for your individual user, you know, people who like just want to, they push out a lot of content. Maybe you're one of those people who writes a lot of poems out there. You just want to push it out to all your platforms. Issue is the way to go. It's perfect for marketers, designers, educators, publishers, salespeople, or anyone who just wants to make eye-catching content. And best of all, it's free when you get started with Issue. Go to issue.info/VIALL to sign up for your free account. That is issue.info/VIALL to sign up and let them know you heard about it on our show. Remember, that's .info, not .com. Go to issue.info/VIALL to set up your free account today. We all want to do the right thing to keep our bodies healthy for a very long time. I know I do. And so I'm always looking to nourish my body with things that make sense for me. And Ritual is doing the same thing for you women out there. I mean, this, they don't give a crap about me, but that doesn't matter. They're doing amazing things when it comes to multivitamins for women. And they're the experts. Ritual Essentials has the nutrients most of us don't get enough from our food, all in their clean, absorbable forms. No shady additives or ingredients that can do more harm to your body than good. And again, it's specifically designed for women.
So yeah, I got it a few weeks ago and I started taking them. I take two every morning. And it's easy capsules. They actually are made specifically so you don't get your stomach doesn't get upset. But a lot of people keep asking, like, how does it make you feel? And when do you start feeling different things? And I have to tell you, even after just 1 or 2 weeks, I already have a happier mood. My energy is able to maintain a little bit more. And it's just some of the bonuses of being able to improve your long-term health for it.
Do you just, is it part of it just knowing that you're taking care of your body? Is it just
It's important to know that I'm getting nutrients that I didn't know I wasn't getting from my food.
So better health obviously doesn't happen overnight. And right now, Ritual is offering my listeners 10% off during your first 3 months. Fill in the gaps in your diet with Essentials for Women, a small step that helps support a healthy foundation for your body. Visit ritual.com/VIAL to start your ritual today. That's 10% off during your first 3 months at ritual.com/VIAL. For the life of me, and I've said this to producers, and Tanner and Jared, you can maybe chime in here, but for whatever reason, and Rachel references on her podcast, clearly the company line is to just no comment, literally everything. They just never comment on anything, which I think maybe worked in the past. You know, that's kind of the old school kind of PR method. Just, you know, don't comment, like let other people comment. But we live in this kind of new age of information and social media, like no comment, no comment, no comment. And it's just like, you know, now you have these alumni like ourselves, or specifically Rachel, who are, you know, want to speak out, and the optics look like Rachel speaking out against the franchise, you know, and that sucks too. And it's, I hope this is the first step, even from hearing from producers directly or hearing from ABC, have them like speak up about things that go on in their franchise so that their alumni don't have to. Quite honestly, it's an annoying burden.
Yeah, I think this initiative will set changes like that, just with public statements, and it'll make deeper changes, because I do think maybe Matt James was on the radar to be the lead this upcoming season.
For sure.
Until maybe the whole cameo Claire thing maybe blew up that storyline. We can get into that later. But I do think that this, instead of them just slapping a Band-Aid on it once a decade and throwing some lead out there of a person of color, this will actually maybe dictate more true changes for casting every season. Plus, you know, like you said, behind the camera, employees as well. So, you know, maybe it's a blessing that it had to happen this way, because it'll actually institute deeper, real change instead of just a, you know, here's a once in a decade kind of thing.
Yeah, sure.
Well, that's the thing too. It's just, I know Rachel was really appreciative of the statement, and it was nice to see. And you're going to have, you know, we can get into the casting of Matt James. It didn't come without its critics of, oh, well, too little, too late. And listen, you just got to start somewhere. Right.
Yeah.
And I think you all agree that, like, if the casting of Matt James is just kind of an appeasement, then it's not, that sucks. And that's not okay. And that's, but if this is a one step of more to come, then it's, you got to start somewhere. You know, and let's see where it goes from here. And I think Bachelor Nation and the alumni and some of the producers and its fans need to hold the franchise accountable going forward. You know, to make sure this.
Yeah, I think we live, like you guys said, today in a world where people are going to be held accountable. And the executive producers put out a statement because they felt like they needed to say something. They couldn't hide behind, you know, the television show like they've done so many times. And that goes not just with Bachelor, but with everybody. I mean, how many times have you seen white silence is violence, you know? And it's just, in today's world, you have to speak out about your views because you can't be silent anymore. And with Matt James, like you guys said, there was criticism, but you do have to start somewhere. Was it pandering a little bit? Maybe, but I mean, you have to take a baby step before you can start, you know, you have to crawl before you can walk. And I think it also, like Nick said, it was a very good step in the right direction to not only just cast Matt James as the Bachelor, but also have a public statement from all the executive producers criticizing themselves and realizing that we all have to do better.
Yeah, I think that was as meaningful as even the casting of Matt James this week. I mean, quite honestly, I would have just liked to see that statement first and the acknowledgement. Even Rachel mentioned she was kind of critical. The timing seemed a bit odd. I mean, see, I woke up, I'm on the West Coast, and everyone's like blowing up my phone, and it's just like, yeah, your first thought is like, wow, they really, they really got ahead of this. Yeah. It's just like, I mean, like, thank you for doing this, but you didn't have to do it in 3 days. Yeah. You know, like,
right.
I mean, like, they're not filming at least to at the earliest September,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So that part is like, okay, I mean, yeah. Thanks, but all right.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's very jarring for sure.
I think we're going to have a better feel about the casting of Matt James in a couple of years. Cause like you guys yeah. said, you know, we'll figure out, okay, is this the start of change or is this a one-off? And the yep. only way we're going to really find out is what lies ahead and keeping the Bachelor yeah. franchise accountable and keeping themselves accountable, you know, not just a one-off statement being like, hey, we're going to learn and we're going to do better, but actually, you know, implementing those values.
Shavings make a pile. We all know they do. And Noom believes in that. More than you can imagine. Listen, we've talked about Noom a lot. I love it. It's great. They are giving you a bunch of information to help you meet your health and wellness goals. It's a very easy and convenient app that you use. And if you just use it for 10 minutes a day, you're going to get a ton of information and great best practices and habits of how to have a better and healthier life and diet. Listen, it's a very convenient app that gives you great habits, great information. If you just use it 10 minutes a day, you're going to get a ton of information to help you meet your fitness and wellness goals.
Noom is also great because they teach you the psychology behind the decisions that you make, and they help you keep track of everything from workouts and steps to analyzing your diet and recommending healthy recipes. No food is good or bad or off limits. Noom teaches moderation and can be used in conjunction with many of your pre-existing popular diets, wants, and needs.
So you don't have to do it all in one day, people. Like I said, shavings make a pile or small steps make big progress. Sign up for your trial at Noom. That's Noom.com/VIALL. What do you have to lose? Visit Noom.com/VIALL to start your trial today. That's Noom.com/VIALL. Without question, the easiest way to make myself feel better, honestly, in every aspect of my life is making sure I'm hydrated. No joke. It's amazing what hydrating your body does for both your emotional, mental, and physical energy and your skin. I mean, listen, I have great 100%. Skin and I like to think it's because I hydrate. And I've been doing it a lot more with Hydrate Spark because honestly, I'm just forgetful. I drink too much coffee and other things. And just having my Hydrate Spark water bottle is a reminder that I need to be drinking just water. And they make it super easy. My Hydrate Spark water bottle, it connects with a very user-friendly app. It helps remind me. It lights up whenever I need to drink water. It tracks it. And quite honestly, I feel much better. I have more energy. I wake up feeling more refreshed. I sleep better. It's truly incredible what just drinking water can do for your body. And they make it super easy because honestly, since having my Hydrate Spark water bottle, my intake not only has gone up, but it's stayed way more consistent because sometimes I have these initiatives where I drop off when I'm not, you know, I'm like, oh, I'll do this for like 3 days and I don't do that. But ever since my Hydrate Spark has been by my side, I am rocking and rolling. So to order and get your own Hydrate Spark water bottle today, go to HydrateSpark.com/VIALL for 20% off your first order. Hydrate Spark is spelled with an I, so that's HIDRATE Spark.com/VIALL. Again, that's HydrateSpark.com/VIALL for 20% off your first order.
I was thinking about this yesterday because with the announcement of Matt, a name that got brought up a ton was Mike Johnson, right? Well, why not Mike? I mean, did they not like, Matt James not even on the show? He's Tyler's friend. I mean, yeah, he's built this following via Tyler, but like Mike was literally on the show.
Yeah.
I don't know, what are your thoughts on that, Brett? I mean, I know you've been a big Mike supporter. I mean, do you think in terms of looking back, it was just, was it Mike or it was just like, he's like, let's just get a person of color and he seems like a great guy.
Yeah. From where we were coming from, I mean, you know, I've met Mike. He seems like a great guy. Would have loved to see him as Bachelor, but we also didn't want to hinge like our messaging on like, it better be this person. Cause we also realize that there's so much we don't know. I wasn't even fully sure if Mike was in a relationship or not. You know, there's all these things. So we didn't want that to be messed up by hitching our wagon to one person. You know, it's weird. It's a weird move that Matt James is all of a sudden thrust into the lead, even though he hasn't been on a season before. Maybe that's a good thing. Who really knows? You know, this is all really confusing. So I'm trying not to let perfect being the enemy of the good, you know, like I'm trying to realize that this is ultimately a good thing. There's plenty more to be done, but I think we can all get caught up in like, oh, but like, it should have been this way. It should have been this person. It should have come at this time. And like, but you know, let's just try to keep making them do better.
It's like the NFL draft. You really can't judge it until 3 years down the road. Right?
Right, exactly.
Nice reference. I mean, you're always going to have its critics, but overall it's a fantastic thing. And I mean, it's funny because before they announced Matt James, I was going to come on this episode and like almost offer a suggestion. And that suggestion would have been like, I get this whole idea that we always cast from a previous season, but we're in extraordinary times. Go against that for one season, make a real attempt and use the entire nation get someone who you think would be an excellent bachelor who is black, you know, and do that. And then maybe get someone who's already in the public eye because, you know, there's a story there. Like they could have done that. And listen, they chose Matt James. Great. I thought that's what they would have done. Like take these next month, you know, month or so and just make that a priority to say, this is what we're going to do. And listen, it's Warner Bros. And ABC. If they really want to get something done, they'll do it. You know, they certainly have the resources.
Nick, what's funny is the last time that I was on Recapping Listen to Your Heart, it was the episode after the whole cameo drama. And I remember I remember us all talking about it. And I do remember you saying, it's like, you know, after this, I don't see how Matt James can be on Claire's season. So I guess you were right. There you go.
It was like, it almost maybe worked out that way because I do know they were I was curious myself and they couldn't tell me much, but they were just like, yeah, we're having a lot of conversations about it. Right.
Yeah.
And my guess was we really loved Matt. We love Matt. We want him to be a part of this franchise, but man, if that didn't put us in a tough spot as it relates to Claire, right?
I think that threw a wrench in it. I think honestly they're playing because I know Nick, you tweeted that Matt would be a great bachelor choice. Me and Jay had actually had private conversations as soon as the casting list came out. We're like, I guarantee Matt's going to be the next bachelor. Yeah. It felt like it was going that way.
I first met Matt was in New York and Tyler invited me to this kind of ABC tour thing they were doing. Right. And then obviously Matt was there and I'm just like talking to these guys. I just met him. And I immediately was like, dude, you got to get him on the Bachelorette because he would just be great on the Bachelorette. And if all things worked out, he could be the first black bachelor, you know? Yeah. So like,
we can thank Cameo maybe to this too then, because honestly, that may have sped it up because how do you make him the bachelor if he gets on there for a week or two and it has this like clash with Claire and it's weird.
It's not
a good storyline. So
you can't. And,
no, I agree. I was talking to Ashley about it last week and, both of us were like, I wonder, because they were going to cast Black Bachelor, obviously, that's what we all felt. I was like, I wonder if they're just pull Matt James from Claire's season and put him as the Bachelor, because he can't go on Claire's season anymore, right. And people want to see him, and then bada-bing, bada-boom.
It's one of those things I think sometimes the Bachelor often gets criticized, and I think fair, too, sometimes, is it's like when they put themselves in these situations and they try to fix it, they almost try to fix it, you know, too fast or too quick. Mm. You know, then it's just like the reality TV playbook, right? Is to use everything, right? Mm. Whatever it is, whatever the topic is, let's use it, right? This is what's bothering you. Let's talk about it. You know, they'll record it and then they may decide to use it or not use it. But sometimes it's just like, all right, we don't need to, you know, I think you even had that in your initiative, Brett. Like you don't want them to almost, exploit these kind of, the racism that goes on as a way to like get compelling TV. And I would agree to be the first black bachelor is a huge responsibility. I know even Rachel, you know, like she's asked questions and, you know, people go to her for all these things
And that's going to now shift a little bit more to Matt. Like, let Matt enjoy his season and let him be the bachelor as well. Like, have this experience and not just
about, needs to be about all his other good qualities too. If it's always just about his race, then I think that takes away from it. And it needs to be a part about his race. It'll be obvious, you know, what's going on, but it also just needs to be commonplace that he's a great guy with all these great qualities and let the show go on as normal. You have to bring awareness, but you can't shine a spotlight on it the whole time.
And what will be interesting too is that, and I, as a former bachelor, forgetting about all the things we just talked about, you always feel like they're not really casting for you, right? They're casting for the show, right? And part of that is just timing. You know, they make their last minute decisions on who the lead's going to be. Casting is a year long process, so they have these women or men given on the respective season, and you're just like, I have an expectation of getting engaged and you're not looking for me. And yet here you are casting Matt James in June. They won't film his season until at least late September. So for the first time, and maybe since the first season, I don't know, they're really going to be casting hopefully for Matt, which I think will be make it really interesting, not only as a chance to have more diversity, but like to have people who might be more from a personality standpoint, more suited for Matt, which I think is a great thing, hopefully.
For sure.
So,
I did have one kind of segue question. Do you think Claire is upset? Did you see that she made a statement about,
did she?
Like, I was not made aware that they made this choice at all. And she didn't say she was upset, but it seemed like she was just like a little miffed by it. But
probably. I don't know if it's really Claire's place to be notified. Yeah. I mean, she is the Bachelorette. And that's great. But she's not a producer. She's not a part of production.
I feel like Claire's season, I think she'll be fine TV and I hope the best for her. But I feel like this is going to be one of the most overlooked seasons in the history of the show. We already have the next lead picked out. I think a lot of people are probably looking forward to that. She's already got the weird scheduling and not being able to travel. It's a very weird
season. Yeah, it's weird in that regard. I think people are just anxious to get some new Bachelor content. Yeah. So I think there will be a level of excitement and I do think Claire will be good TV. But you're right. Like anytime someone doesn't like the season, you're gonna see the comments on Twitter. Can we just like skip to Matt James' season?
Yeah,
that's inevitable. But what's another interesting element is that this will be the first time, and I don't, you know, since we can remember that when you watch the season, you know that every contestant there knows they're not going to be the next Bachelor, right? So this idea of are they here? Like this right reasons, especially gets down to the end, the sincerity of their beliefs. And like, you know, I truly believe that having done this twice and being so emotionally invested in these, you don't actually think that, but even from a fan point of view, they're not going to wonder if these guys are just trying to be the next Bachelor because everyone knows who the next Bachelor, you're not in. and that is an interesting wrinkle, you know?
Yeah, it is an interesting wrinkle. And just to comment on the Claire thing, I just read the article. It was a source that said that Claire didn't say that. It was just a source says Claire was not notified that Matt would be the next Bachelor. And so, I mean,
thanks for clarifying that. But I hope that her experience is as good as it possibly can be. It's just as a fan of the show, it is a weird wrinkle because part of the fun is watching who Claire will end up with, but part of the fun is always like, oh, I wonder who's going to be the next lead. Like that's also exciting for the fans, but hopefully she does good, and then hopefully Matt's is good as well. So,
we want to congratulate Matt, obviously, on being the first Black Bachelor and being just the next Bachelor, and just to the show. Hopefully, this is just a step in the right direction, and we will see. Shall we segue to? I gotta say, did you guys watch Sean's Greatest of All Time episode at all?
I saw like the first half.
What did you think?
I was watching
Brad?
Part of it. I was watching part of it because I was a little focused on, all that. But I'll be back on board this week.
I only asked because, listen, we were on this season, so we watch it with a little bit more like enthusiasm. But like the recap of a season, it was like, it's hard to just get invested. But it was a reminder after watching this, just how good overall Caitlin's season was from a, just a drama standpoint. There were just a lot of good stories. I don't know, Brett, you didn't watch Caitlin's season when it first aired, but what were your thoughts? Like, did watching this recap make you want to go back and watch it, or did you feel like entertained by it? Like, what I'm kind of just curious of the overall thoughts of just the format of how this whole series is working out.
Yeah. I mean, if anything, I'm really the target audience for this spinoff. You know, it's just educating, bachelor viewers who got on, you know, after a certain point, because I started with Paradise of 2016. You know, so Nick, you were the first Bachelor season I saw. And Jared, I saw you on Paradise there. Tanner, I haven't been able to see you at all. So I got to go back.
You still won't see him after Monday night.
Yeah. Yeah, me and Caitlin didn't have a lot of connection.
But fair enough.
They referenced your ability to narrate what was going on in the house.
Yeah. That's all I was good for that season. But I had fun.
Yeah, and you did drag Nick for a second there too when he first showed up. You had your moment.
These guys were fucking assholes to me. I felt like after watching
so mean to you.
Hold on.
After this recap.
Hold on, let me.
Yeah, you gave him the nastiest look when he walked in that room, and it was not only that. There was a close up of the nasty look that you gave him when you walked in that room.
Even Ben,
it's your resting nothing face.
Even the great Ben Higgins, a super sweet, nice guy, was just like, "Fuck this guy." What did Ben say? It's just like, how desperate can a guy be to show up in New York? I'm like, how is this? How is this desperate? Like, I'm the only one here who showed up for Caitlin. So fuck you guys.
Tanner had the line with the "Here you are for your 16th."
Yeah, I know. I have a comment on that. So I made that comment, 16 Minute of Fame. Little did I know Nick would go on to Paradise, be the Bachelor, and here I am 5 years later on his Bachelor podcast. I'm like, oh goodness.
He's on his 37th Minute of Fame right now.
Yeah. that's all I gotta say about that. It felt like it took five seasons to be fully vindicated from Caitlin's season, and I feel like this episode really did it for me. Because you guys all looked like assholes.
And the thing is too, like, kind of going back is like when I first started watching, you know, I was watching with the beginning of your redemption arc, right, on Paradise. So I didn't have all of this like weird context before. And I do think going back to this episode, I think I was definitely watching in a different lens. And I don't actually necessarily think that I saw like every interaction that you had with all the guys in the house. So I do think you like came across fine in this episode. And I was expecting it to be like, oh, this is where I see the Nick that like has this mixed reputation and all that. But I ultimately kind of agree with what you were saying. It's like, it's interesting that, you know, to use here for the right reasons. Like, I think your 16th minute of fame or 15 minutes that you had beforehand kind of theoretically benefited you, because it's like, yeah, I've already gotten it, so now I'm kind of here just for this person.
I feel like Nick, you just got a bad rap from Andy's season. Just transferred over to Caitlin's season, so people already viewed you as this villainous guy, and then it just, like, even though you didn't do anything villainous on Caitlin's season, the audience just immediately associated you.
Looking back, I said this before, as far as my edit goes on Caitlin's season, even I was fine with it.
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
When you watch it back, you're like, I didn't.
You were fine. I mean, I wanted to hate you as much as anybody, but I, as you know, like 1 week later, I was Team Nick, and me and you were buddies, and we were talking, and I was on your side. So, after getting to know you, your edit for me.
Yeah, but you're right. It was just like for the people who, that's when I went from being the villain to polarizing, because a lot of people watched Caitlin's season and thought, wait, I know I'm supposed to not be rooting for Nick, but I feel like I am. And so, yeah, the arc kind of started leading into Paradise was like the was towards the end of the season.
I think it was pre-beard Nick versus, I think the beard is what changed.
Yeah, you really saw the evolution. You saw like, you saw, I got a tan, I grew a beard. So by the time I'm at like the breakup, I was like, you know, this is the beginning of the new me. Yeah.
It's all the beard and the tan, man.
My fucking haircut throughout that whole
hair. Look, you started rough at the beginning, but by the end, your hair had it together.
It was getting better. It was still, but I still did this thing where I wore it like weirdly high in the back, and it had like these like two horns sticking up. I don't know what the fuck I was doing. I don't get it.
Nick, you have such an interesting personality. You're such an interesting person, and I feel that your overall evolution in the Bachelor franchise is very similar to, like, I can only speak about our friendship, but like our friendship together, because we were always friends, like even from Caitlin's season moving forward, like I never disliked you, but you have this ability where, like, there are times, Nick, where you're completely aloof and like disconnected. Like, we go to lunches and like, you're not even making eye contact with me. You're just on your phone, but then we'll leave and be like, hey, I loved hanging out with you. Like, why don't we hang out more? It was really great seeing you. I miss you. And I'm like, oh, well, shit. Like, even though we just talked for 45 minutes, like, oh, that was the sweetest thing. I'll never forget one story. I'll tell a quick story from our Paradise season together, where Nick is obviously very opinionated. He's a big personality. And I remember we were having this, like, man chat. And I tried chiming into the conversation, and Nick kind of talked over me. And I remember being like, Nick, don't interrupt me. Because it was like you just didn't notice that you were, you know, talking.
Jared yelled.
I know.
He doesn't yell.
I was like, Nick, don't interrupt me. Let me just finish my sentence. And then afterwards, you came up to me and you're like, hey, dude, like, I'm sorry if I'm ever interrupting or talking over you. Just like, just let me know. And I was like, okay, I will. And it was just as simple as that. And I was like, all right, that was nice.
Yeah, we didn't really become friends until Paradise. I think we were definitely acquaintances, and we had hung out before Paradise, but there was still like a level of, again, even the guys on the show, Tanner warmed up to me pretty quick because Tanner likes conflict, and Tanner isn't as resistant. But the is Nick a good guy, is Nick a bad guy, perpetuated not only from the show filming but into reality, of like when I would connect with these guys, it was like, I don't know if this guy's, you know, like this, I don't know, like, because like here they are, you guys were all buddies with Sean, and Sean's just be like, I know he's a terrible human being. It was like, well, I don't know if he's terrible, but like maybe we can't trust him. There was definitely still a lot of that, but I joked on the recap, and they didn't air that, but I was like, if Jared knew that I was going to be standing up in his wedding when he was when he first met me, I don't think he would have.
By the way, Nick, thank you for coming to my wedding, Tanner.
Blame my baby.
Yeah, I loved the. When they were showing the beginning of the season, and it was like night one,
the Ryan McDill night.
Oh yeah, they didn't even touch that. But just the Becca, that was Caitlin and Britt. Jared, they aired Jared the most Jared line of all time, was when they aired Jared going, I mean, when I talk with Britt, I want to pick Britt, but then when I talk with Caitlin, I like her too. And I'm like, oh my God, that is so fucking Jared.
I'm a little indecisive in life, unfortunately.
Decisive and like super agreeable and just pleasant.
So I had a question rewatching it. So do you think we would even really know you if Britt had won? Because obviously like you and Caitlin had the connection, but like making me rewatch this, like, what if that domino fell the other way? Nick's life could be completely different.
Totally different. I don't think that's what people realize. And, like, Chris is doing Chris's job because, like, I mentioned the emails on my podcast, and then I'm friends with the producers, and, you know, they're like, can we read them? I'm like, sure. I'm like, we're not going to share them. And, like, I ran it by Caitlin before. I even, like, said, you know, they might talk about it, and she was cool with it. But, it was more like, yeah, it was like I was all, it was all Caitlin. So like the plan was in my head that if you guys picked Britt, instead of flying back to Vancouver, she was going to be like, just send me to Chicago. I don't know if that actually would have happened, but in my head, like that's what we had talked about. I was no, there's no fucking way I was coming on for Britt. And in fact, it was going to be like, yeah, sign me up for Paradise. I probably would have gone on Paradise and tried to convince Caitlin to come on Paradise. That's right. Probably what would have happened, or at least a chance. So, but I don't. Yes, it's safe to say my life is drastically different. There's so many butterfly kind of effects that kind of happened.
Oh yeah, well, in the show in general. I mean, if Jared would have got sent home night one, or I would, like, neither of us would be married probably right now, or married to someone else. Like, there's so many little dominoes that you don't think about, you know, weeks 1, 2, 3, 4 on the show, but they make huge impacts. Even, you know, as to who's the next lead and then who they pick, it's got such a ripple effect on the show. It's really fascinating.
It totally is. Are there any things watching the episode back that, you know, change your perspective on the show itself, or just your own time on the show?
No, not really. I mean, it makes me think, like, everything Caitlin said, she knew she was down to you and Sean from, like, the get-go. You know what I mean? Like, rewatching it from that aspect makes me feel like, yeah, the rest of us had zero chance.
I remember. Have we told this story, Jared? Or did we say this on the New Year? Yeah, we mentioned this on our Christmas episode.
Yeah, because Kyle was there. Because we were hanging out with Kyle that night, yeah.
And this was the first night Jared and I had hung out with each other post the season. It was like, hey, you know, I haven't seen you since Ireland. And hey, man. And we were being very friendly. We were hanging out together, but we weren't friends yet.
I would say we were friends, but yeah, we just weren't as close as we are now, obviously.
Yeah. And we were all friends because of this shared experience.
Yeah.
And we were at this bar. My buddy Kyle. Well, no, like, you know, Jared. Yeah, that's right. Jared, you know, you naturally talk about your experience. And Jared started, like, asking me about, like, what happened. And I was like, well, I'll just fucking tell you everything. And I'm telling Jared, and his face was just like, well, I don't know anything. You know, like, the perception of, like, it was, and Kyle was watching it, like, almost like, as a viewer, just like, it was kind of wild to, like, have. And it felt good just be like,
I went from being a boy to a man.
Yeah. But it was more like, listen, I wasn't some sort of producer plant, man. Like, this was all, like, very real for me.
Oh, I never doubted that. But when you started telling me, like, I think nobody knew, and including myself, like, kind of what was happening before filming and then during filming, you know. It's just you're just not privy to that knowledge, you know. Yeah. As someone like myself, and Tanner could probably attest to this, like, I had more of an investment in that season, but, like, I kind of just, like, just went my own way during the season. You know, I didn't really cause drama. I was kind of left alone, and same with Tanner. And so you leave, and you have this whole idea of, like, what those moments were to you, and, like, what everybody else's relationship was, and then, you know, Nick one night was like, all right, I'm going to tell you some shit. And it was funny.
My dates weren't like those. where do you think your life would be today, Nick, if she did pick you over Sean?
Did she pick me over Sean?
Yeah, obviously this season really became, aside from some of the early drama, became Nick versus Sean. Do you think you'd be living in LA? Do you think you would have gone somewhere else? Like,
do you think you'd be married to Caitlin right now?
Yeah.
No, I don't. No, I don't think we were compatible. I don't even think we would have lasted half as long as her and Sean did. But that's just my guess. So yeah, no regrets there. Like I said, when I watch this back, as I mentioned to Chris, like, I actually have nothing but great memories. Like, you know, you watch the. I mean, when I watched it back, it was, I have a hard time not only remembering that guy because of his terrible haircut, but even just my ability to emote, and express myself. I haven't seen that guy in a while. So it was kind of almost endearing for me to, like, because again, when I said it and when it all went down, it was just, I was just being as vulnerable and as raw as possible at the risk of you guys hating me and getting a bad edit. I was just like, this is who I am. And so like, even the breakup, like it's all good memories now. It's all great memories. Like I think back and have a really positive memory about the experience because like, listen, at the end of the day, Caitlin made the right decision. So it's all very positive now. I mean, I don't like that breakup was my best TV moment, you know?
It was good.
I don't think I could have done better.
It was more than just a moment for me, Caitlin.
And that was like, I don't even remember saying that, you know, like it's, I remember watching it for the first time after, because like that was a long breakup, but it was even longer in real life. I'll never forget. Cause I was just like, and Caitlin did me such a favor that I obviously didn't appreciate till much later because.
Which was?
Well, if she broke up with, let's say she broke up with me the same way Andy did, like she didn't let me get that close to the, a proposal, right? Like the morning of, I never have that moment, right? It's not as dramatic. That was really the turn for me where people started thinking, I don't know. I think maybe we just been wrong about this guy. Not everyone, but a lot of people. And even during the proposal, I remember when she was like, nope. And I was like, all right, well, I want to get the fuck out of here. Like I wanted to leave immediately. And I was like, all right, cool. Like, I just want to go, you know? And she was like, no, I want to talk about it. I'm like, I really don't want to, you know? And she kept, it was just such a bizarre thing because she kept saying, no, I love you. And I'm like, kept saying like, what is going on here? You're like, you're, and she insisted. And I'm sure the producer said, you got to do this. You got to do this. He's going to be mad at you, but trust me. He's going to thank you in the long run. And Caitlin did me a huge service to do that at the risk of seeming like she was being insensitive in the moment. She definitely did me a huge favor because I don't think I ever, you know, again, you talk about like, if this doesn't happen, that won't happen. I would say the same just about that moment. I think if she breaks up with me in a different way, it's a very different ending.
Yeah, I think all three of us kind of have to shout out to Caitlin because if she didn't keep, you know, Tanner and myself around long enough, you know, who knows if we make an impression in Paradise, and then who knows if Tanner meets Jade, and then who knows if I meet Ashley.
Specifically with you, Jared, I mean, because like Tanner knew his role. He came in as like a super fan.
Yeah,
and this is not a criticism or a praise, but like you had no connection with Caitlin,
right?
And you were just an asset to the producers, being like, "Listen, here's what I'll do. I will be very honest with my opinions about everyone.
Right.
I will tell you what's going on." And they're like, "Well, that will get you to at least week six."
Right. That was my only chance to stay. So,
but with you, Jared, I mean, you were you had a connection with Caitlin, and you were like you really. You looked great on the season and definitely was a launching pad. You were the first like on Paradise, because there's always like who's the cool kid, who's the prize to be won, and you were definitely the guy on your first season of Paradise.
It was crazy. I went on Paradise and then Ashley was like, Jared is incredible, and then all the other girls were like, huh, maybe he is. All right, let's go up to Jared.
I remember watching it being like, I mean, he's fine.
Like, yeah. Trust me, I thought the same thing. I'm like, guys, trust me, like I got news for you. I should not be pined over. I promise you.
Speaking of glow up, I know I get a lot of it too, but I mean, Ashley really has done you well.
Oh,
Jared, you've gotten considerably hotter since
it's night and day, my friend. I look back and just see a boy. The thing is, dude, like I just never really took any effort into my appearance, which obviously really cost me. and then luckily now I've been surrounded by good friends like yourself who will give me your clothes. I get Nick's hand-me-downs. It's very nice. And then Ashley, who makes sure I keep up with my appearances. So it's good. It's good stuff.
Yeah, me and JJ used to always joke, oh, that Jared guy's going home night one. Every time he got a rose, we're like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I love that JJ always thought like he was gonna like
win.
Just like no. Tanner, do you remember it was when I first showed up? We were in New York.
Yep.
And it was the first rose ceremony that I was a part of. And
at the baseball stadium?
Yeah. And so after we snuck into that hotel, after I went in that hotel, I had Caitlin's room number. I think I've mentioned this before. And there were phones in the room, right? And so I, like, for whatever reason, they gave me my own room in New York just to kind of like slowly acclimate myself to like, so I have my own room and I called Caitlin's room. And so we, you know, talked for 15 or 20 minutes. They ended up catching Caitlin because they got like the phone receipts and like they put a nix to that. But she had mentioned like who she was going to send home that night. And I remember at the rose ceremony right before we're walking out to the Met Stadium, and I forgot how cold that was when they aired that back. It was 20 degrees and we're in suits and it was windy. But I just whispered to Tanner and I'm like, these three guys are going home. Watch.
I was like, who is this guy?
And he was like, we line up and those three fucking guys go home, and Tanner looks at me, he's like, wow.
right.
I probably shouldn't have said that, because it's amazing how quickly you forget you're mic'd in that world, because
they could have aired
that. Not that, I mean, I don't know, that probably wouldn't have done them any good by me being like, yeah, these three guys are going home, and then bam bam bam. I remember your reaction, and you were just
I was shocked. Yeah.
Those are always fun memories too.
And Jerry, we thought we had a chance. This guy's calling her in the middle of the night. I mean, come on.
I know. Well, obviously I didn't know that at the time. Truthfully, in the moment, I was like, I think there's a chance that she picks me. But then looking back, I was like, I had no fucking chance. like what the bachelor bubble is, man. Like in the moment, you're like Nick talked about, you don't really think about the future. You're just like this.
Well, I mean, kind of honestly, having been the bachelor, I look back as confident as I was about like Andy's season. I look back and think she was always going to pick Josh.
Yeah.
You know, even like talking to producers, it was like, yeah, I mean, Andy was really into you, and there may be some moments where she like considered you because things were rocky with Josh, but it was always Josh. And I think with Caitlin, it was, she eventually like decided it was going to be Sean, but there was a little bit more indecisiveness early. But like, I think that like, and for me, it's like Vanessa, it was like, you know, I had these great connections with Rachel and Raven, but it was like always going to be Vanessa. And I think you're just like, oh yeah. You know, I remember, you know, being on my season of The Bachelor, knowing what I was going through, I definitely looked at my two seasons very differently about like, you know what, I guess I was just a little too caught up into it. Then I realize. Hey, I got a question for you, fuckers. When we were in New York, who was the guy who took my suitcase and put it in the shower?
Oh yeah, was that Corey Stanzel?
I don't fucking know.
These fucking guys grabbed one of my suitcases and opened it up and just put it in the shower.
Yeah, no, I remember when that happened. Yeah. And Corey Stanzel, if you're listening to this and it wasn't you, I apologize. But
no, that name sounds familiar, and I'm pretty sure it was. But I'm thinking, like, for all the shit I got from you guys, like, you guys were just fucking dicks.
Yeah, it was like a football locker room. Like, if they're putting shit in the shower, that's...
Yeah, I mean, Joshua was like, I just don't like this guy. He's got a bad feeling about him. It's just like, it's amazing what fear can do to you. Fuck you guys is what I want to say.
I know, I'm trying to think of like other Nick stories. I wish I had
more. I'm all for Tanner or Jared stories.
Are there other moments in looking back at the episode that like you were surprised that like didn't get brought back up?
I mean, well, it's hard because they condense it down so much.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wish that in the format that they did less of like the Zoom Skype videos and more trying to get into the weeds of the season. I personally think you miss out on a lot of the inner, you know, the inner storyline there. So there are definitely things. I mean, there were some big moments early on with like Ryan McDill on night one and Koopa and Tony the Healer. They're like little odd characters that I wish I could have relived a little bit.
Oh, God, I forgot about Tony.
Yeah. and early on, I mean, I guess Nick wasn't there, so he came once we started traveling. But there were some big characters that were pretty funny the first few nights that we just didn't get to relive again. So little things like that, little drama things that I wish I was
But I think it's, you know, it's such a tough format that what they're trying to do, and it's the first time they're doing it. It's like, what do you focus the attention on? And
pick your storylines a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, you're always probably going to highlight, especially the characters who are still part of the franchise in some way, like even you, Tanner and Jared and Ashley and Ben and myself and obviously Caitlin and Jason. We're like, that guy was fun, you know, like fun to watch, but.
You know what's funny? So, Nick, you came on in the New York Day at the rap battle. And thinking back upon that, I was not on that date because that was the. What date? Yeah,
you got the New York 101.
Yeah, the 101.
You were at home. You were back at the hotel.
I was trying out my Hugo Boss tux. But anyway, you were at the rap battle. That's when you came in. And you know what's so funny about that? Looking back on my own personal life, in that audience was my future wife, Ashley, because she was sitting next to you, my future sister-in-law, Lauren, my future groomsman, Nick, and then my sister and my best friend who signed me up for the show drove up to be in the audience that day because they thought there was potential for me being on the date. So in the audience that day, before I knew any of you guys, and I was pursuing Caitlin, was a future groomsman, my future wife, my future sister-in-law, my sister, and my best friend who signed me up for the show.
And I was rapping.
That is crazy.
And then Tanner was, Tanner, you were on the rap battle. So, and then another groomsman who was a part of the date. That's crazy.
But what's crazy is how big that room was filled with people you know, and half of them you hadn't even met yet.
Yeah.
That last part is kind of wild in terms of being there. Like if you an out of body experience of like not knowing who's in that room, who's going to be the biggest parts of your life. None more than obviously Ashley and her sister.
Yeah. It goes to show you that the show does have such crazy real impact. Like it's hard not to just get a little reminiscent. Like obviously I love the show because all the drama and craziness, but all of us are sitting there watching the show that's greatly impacted our lives so much. And it was just fun to reminisce a little bit.
Well, that's the thing too. It's just like, I know Chris really overplayed these emails a little bit, but when Caitlin was like, I never got those letters. And like, this is like 5 years after I wrote them. It was fun to go back and see them. And it had nothing to do with like Caitlin. It was just like, I do have such a fond memory, even though it was very traumatic at the time, of that overall experience now. You know what I'm saying? Like, I look back and watching it, it was just like, you know, so many of my friends, you know, my willingness to just do what I did. I actually look back on like, especially like going into that environment, knowing that it was going to be kind of treacherous for me. I guess I do look back on that season and with a sense of pride in terms of like how I navigated that. And like, I was really just my most sincerest self. And it didn't work out that like, I actually am proud of that experience. And so I definitely have nothing but fond memories about it.
And you got your 16th minute, buddy. Well done.
My 16th minute that, has been going on 6 years now. So, suck it, internet. Well, guys, I appreciate you taking the time. It's been fun going down memory lane with you guys. Thanks for being my friends. And I'm glad I showed up on Caitlin's season just so you two assholes could be a part of my life. And
honestly, it was there's a lot of like you know, Ben and who else, you know, we still see Cupcake every once in a while.
Between you two and Ben, I mean, that's three real friends I have from the show, and that's a big deal.
Yeah, it's a cool piece of it.
So Not really. No. I mean, yeah, Chris Soules a little bit, you know, like definitely way more Caitlin season. I have a lot more connections from, which I truly never thought that would be the case.
I know. I'm really kind of like proud of that. I like that. I don't know.
Yeah. So, all right, guys, I appreciate you doing it. Thanks for listening, guys. As always, don't forget to check us out tomorrow. We have a very fun episode. We have as an Enneagram. I don't know. I still can't announce
Enneagram.
Jade always talks about those.
We have an Enneagram expert, a sage, if you will, in the Enneagram world. And we have a fun conversation, a little lighthearted episode. We dive into that for all the people who have heard about Enneagrams, what they mean, what they don't mean, how we can interpret them, and how we actually can use them in our relationships to actually get something out of it rather than, you know, telling people you're an achiever. So we do that tomorrow, and I think you will really enjoy it. And don't forget to send your questions at asknick@castme.com, cast with a K. And if you're tuning in just to listen to some Bachelor goss, check us out on Monday and Wednesdays. We'd love to have you on. And until then, we will see you tomorrow.
Ever tried reading while jogging, cooking, or even juggling flaming torches? Yeah, doesn't end well. But with audiobooks.com, you can conquer books without the circus act. Dive into over 450,000 titles, including more than 10,000 free ones. Get hooked on a bestseller. Find your next obsession, or finally read that classic you've been avoiding since high school. And here's the inside scoop. Sign up today for a free 30-day trial and snag your first three audiobooks on the house. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.